Hallelujah. Worship is always so good, isn't it? Yeah, I have this app where I get this thing from Christian history every day. And one of them, it says what happened in Christendom on this particular date. And one of them for today was that on this date, Massachusetts or Boston, someplace, I can't remember, someplace passed a law that when the church started, you had to lock the doors. And the reason being is there were too many people that were leaving during the sermon. We don't have that law here today, so you can leave if you want. We can conclude the spiritual gifts today with the interpretation of tongues. We've just been kind of on this path, as you know if you've been following us, of what is today's church supposed to look like. Especially, we've been spending a lot of time in prayer and talking and conversation about where does the church go from here. You hear in the media all the time, the new normal. Well, we here don't want to go back to the normal in the church world. We want to go into all that God is preparing us for as we step forth into the days, the weeks, and the months ahead, whatever that looks like. And that's part of what God has been speaking to us for several months now, maybe close to a year, I can't really remember, on how, I'm just going to adjust this a little bit, on how and where are we going and what does his church look like? And this is all part of it. So let me just read some scriptures that are familiar to you if you've been following with us. 1 Corinthians 4:15, reading from the Passion Bible. For although you could have countless babysitters that could be interpreted in various versions as guides, teachers, instructors, in Christ telling you what you're doing wrong, you don't have many fathers who correct you in love. As you know, it's one thing to be told how you're doing something wrong, it's another for a person to come beside you and walk with you. But I'm a true father to you, for I became your father when I gave you the gospel and brought you into union with Jesus, the Anointed One. See, we know that we're all called to be fathers and mothers in the faith, to people, all looking forward to the second and third, even unto the fourth generation. Acts 2:43. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And part of that, we see what was taking place that Paul talked about in his book to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 12:7 to 11. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. And to another various kinds of tongues. And to another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So we all know that we have gifts. If you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, we all know that we have gifts. And those gifts were given to us so that we can walk with people, that we can encourage people to follow after Jesus, to be fathers and mothers, if you will, in the faith, disciples, mentors, whatever term you want to use. But all of this ties together, going back to 1 Corinthians 12:7, as it says in the ESV, all for the common good, or as it says in the NLT, so we can help each other. See, that's, God is big in the relationships. He's just huge in the relationships. And that's why he did what he did, going all the way through with the gospel, is so that relationships could be developed between him and us and between each other. So far, we have discussed, utterance of wisdom, utterance of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, and tongues. And they're all on the website. If you care to see what we had to say, that's where they are. But all of these gifts, every one of these gifts, they're all available to everyone. I mean, the scripture doesn't deny that. And when you just think about it from a sensible point of view, Jesus used all of these gifts. He gave all these gifts to the apostles to what? To spread the gospel, to build the church, and then he took them away from us here in this day so that we can just kind of struggle along and figure it out ourselves. I don't think so. I really don't think so. Last time we talked about distinguishing between spirits. I think this is a really important one. This is a gift that if you are a follower of Jesus, that you need to be fine-tuning. You need to be developing. We all must look at every word, every thought, every action that goes on around us to make sure it's from God. I mean, do we want to follow that which tickles our inners or causes tingles to go up your legs? Or do we want to follow that which is of our Heavenly Father? See, the truth of the matter is Satan can disguise himself. He can disguise himself as an angel of light. He can communicate to us by word, by deed, even in appearance, and even perform signs and wonders. There's scriptures to support all of that. Just put on your green hats. To, as it says in Matthew 24:24, to lead astray, if possible, even the elect, that be those of us in Christ. So how do we discern? How do we make sure we're hearing from God? Study the word. Pray. Fellowship. Listen to solid godly teaching. Be part of a local church to where you can communicate with leadership and others that are gifted. Do all that is necessary to train yourself so you can distinguish between spirits. See, those who are really good at picking out counterfeit money never look at counterfeit money. They look at the real stuff. They study it. They turn it over. They stare at it. They look at it. They understand what it looks like. See, we need to study the non-counterfeit. We need to study the real God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. So this week, 1 Corinthians 12:10, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But before we get into that, let's look at a little review of what tongues are from the teaching in mid-February. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind that tongues is the most controversial gift of all nine of them. It just freaks people out at times. But for this gift and all the others, I suggest that we lay aside anything we've heard that may put us into a box, that may put us into a position where we absolutely believe this or we believe that, and study the word. I mean, the Bereans, when Paul spoke, they go, yeah, that's good. Whatever you say, boss. What's it say? They went home and studied the scriptures. That's what we need to be doing every time. It's always studying the scriptures, figuring it out. So we aren't in boxes. So that we're not guided by fears. But we're guided by the living word of God. See, Jesus prophesied about tongues in Mark 16 and 17. He said, these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. Now, tongues really is nothing more than a new language that people are blessed with. And it's a dialect spoken under the guidance of the Holy Spirit that is given to us by the Holy Spirit. And again, like all others, it has not ceased. See, it's a way to speak to God, 1 Corinthians 14:2 in the New Living Translation. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. It is simply, as Paul calls it in 1 Corinthians 12:7, ESV, one of the many manifestations of the Spirit for the common good. For the common good. Tongues meets all the requirements that gifts should have if they're of God. They edify. They build up. They encourage and they comfort. 1 Corinthians 14:4. ESV, the one who speaks in tongues builds up himself individually. So can everyone speak in tongues? 1 Corinthians 14:5 says this, ESV, now I want you all to speak in tongues. Kind of appears so. I find it hard to accept that the Holy Spirit, that God would hold the gift of tongues from somebody if they really wanted it. And if you begin to desire, and I'm speaking from my own past here, if you really begin to desire to have the gift of tongues, it probably is the Holy Spirit stirring your heart. And if it's the Holy Spirit stirring your heart, I believe he will grant that gift to you. Now, I've heard stories all over the place from it happened instantly when I got saved to I prayed for it for years. I don't know why things happen the way they do, but I do know it is a gift from God. But if you don't speak in tongues, you're not a second-class citizen in the kingdom of God. You just aren't. You aren't loveless by the triune God. You just aren't. Why do you have any less of God in your life? There are some great men and women in church history that didn't have this gift. People like Jonathan Edwards, George Whitfield, C.H. Spurgeon. Yet God used them in mighty ways. See, though I believe that tongues is mainly for personal edification, they do have an application in a meeting, whether it be a church gathering or a corporate gathering, a home group, a small group, or whatever. Not that there's two different types of gifts of tongues, it's just that gift being used in two different venues. That's why you need the gift we're talking about today, interpretation of tongues. Now, when you look at that Greek word interpretation, the Strong's, it's hermeneia. It's the ability to interpret, to provide a solution, an explanation. Well, in the lexicon says translating, interpreting. I put it this way. It's simply a Holy Spirit-given gift that allows us to interpret a publicly given utterance of tongues and translate it into the language of the congregation so that it can be understood, so people can be built up, edified, encouraged, and comforted. Sam Storms puts it this way. Often what is said in tongues is enigmatic or puzzling or parabolic or symbolic. This will require the interpreter to explain what was said and unpack its significance, not unlike what an art critic does when interpreting a painting and explaining its intent or mood. See, this could lead to people sharing the same interpretation a bit differently. One, operating on how God has created them, might unpack it in such a manner that they paint the overall picture. Another person might give a word-for-word interpretation. But whichever way it is, it's still correct, as long as the Holy Spirit is leading. Remember how we discussed that tongues could take any form of prayer or worship or thanksgiving or adoration or anything like that. Such is the case for the interpretation of tongues. The bottom line is, just as we focus, the focus of tongues is Godward, the focus of the interpretation of tongues is Godward. See, I also have the belief that an interpretation of tongues is usually not meant to be prophetic, but it's meant to be Godward. And what do I mean by Godward? I mean it's lifting up God's name in praise. It's worshiping Him. It's adoring Him. It's talking about who He is. It's rejoicing in Him. And part of the reason I say that is because of Scripture. But it makes sense to me, and that could be a problem right there, but it makes sense to me that a prophetic word, if God has a prophetic word for a person, He's going to give it in a language you can understand to decrease the confusion in it, and so you understand it clearly. That's just my personal opinion. But at the same time, tongues and the interpretation of tongues, they function similar to prophecy again. They're used to build up. They're used to edify. They're used to encourage. And they're used to comfort. See, tongues give God praise and worship and glory and are extremely useful for praying. I know they are in my life, in my quiet time with the Lord. And tongues plus interpretation does much the same. So, the question is, why has tongues and its interpretation been, and the interpretation of tongues been so opposed in the church? Plus the other gifts as far as that goes. I don't believe it's because of exegesis of the scriptures or the critical interpretation or explanation of the scriptures and the text of the New Testament. I believe it's because of fear. And this is all based on people I've talked to over the years. Fear, feeling controlled, wrong exegesis from the scriptures. Man, that's weird. Why would anybody want to do that? That's emotional. I'm not an emotional type of person. Or I just had some bad experiences. There was some place where it was abuse. And sadly, they have been abused. I've seen it. Well, Jack Hayford says this, and I think this is really good what he says. It began to dawn on me that given an environment where the Word of God was foundational and the person of Christ the focus, the Holy Spirit could be trusted to do both. Enlighten intelligence and ignite the emotions. I soon discovered that to allow Him that much space necessitates more a surrender of my senseless fears than a surrender of sensible control. God is not asking any of us to abandon reason or to succumb to some euphoric feeling. He is, however, calling us to trust Him enough to give Him control. It's a big one. So these are the nine charismatic gifts that we've looked at. Utterance of wisdom, utterance of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, and now interpretation of tongues. But there's so many more. How about outreach? How about hospitality or serving or loving? Or cleaning, or working with kids, or youth, or senior outreach, or exhortation, or feeding the hungry, or yard work, or evangelism, or model spouse, or giving, or zeal, or mercy, taking care of widows, or grace, love, prison ministry, hope, meeting needs, and on and on and on. See, I really believe, folks, church, that whenever there's a need in the body, God has given the ability to meet that need to someone. Given them the ability to take care of that need, to satisfy that need. Not only in the community where He has placed us, or the church where He has placed us, community where He's placed us, but also the community outside of our building. The reason I went over the nine is because they're the most controversial. But bottom line, all the gifts, they're all important. Why? To build the church in God's kingdom. That's how he works for us. He uses those gifts to build the church and to build God's kingdom, to reach out to those that are followers of Jesus, to spiritually equip believers, to help people become more like Jesus, to bring unity in the faith, to equip, strengthen, edify, and comfort. So about now, you may be asking the question, at least I was, how do I know what my gift is? How many times have I heard that in my 40 whatever years of following the Lord? Gary, what is my gift? What is my gift? How do I find out my gift? It's really a simple answer. It really is. Sam Storms puts it this way. I think Scripture would have us take a far more practical, listen to this, almost pragmatic approach to discovering our spiritual gifts, an approach that is, at its heart, need-based. What's he talking about? See, the truth of the matter is we can over-spiritualize who we are, what our gifts are. Let me put it to you very simply. If you see something in front of you that needs to be done and you have the ability to do it, do it. Just do it. It's a gift that God has given you. Just do it. We really don't have to over-spiritualize this. If you, all of a sudden that needs healing, lay hands upon them and pray for them. Just do it. If you know someone that needs a ride and you can provide that ride, just do it. If you know someone that is down and out, that doesn't need counseling, but just needs a shoulder to cry on, give them your shoulder. Just do it. If you know someone who's struggling financially and you can help, just do it. If someone is having a hard time understanding Jesus and you can provide insight, just do it. If someone needs help getting their house clean, just do it. If the building needs clean, the grass needs cut, just do it. If someone is struggling with sin and they need someone to pray with them, just do it. If you're praying with someone and you get this word or picture for someone you're not sure whether to share or not, just do it. If someone is lonely and needs to hang out with someone, just do it. If someone needs some assistance with some project and you can provide that helping hand, just do it. That's just do it. That's how you find out your spiritual gift. And then you trust the Holy Spirit to develop it in you. It's really simple. We over-spiritualize it. But if you can't do it, don't feel bad. That's just not what God called you to do. You can ask my friend Terry. If you need work on your engine in your car, don't call me. Really, no. A number of years ago, my garbage disposal went out. My late wife begged me to call a plumber. She knew me. I got this. Not a problem. I got this. So I went out and bought a garbage disposal. I don't know why I picked out the one I did. It just looked nice to me or something. Who knows? Took it home, took the old one out, put the new one in, hooked it all up. Went to work the next day. About 3 hours into the morning, I got a call from my wife who's crying. Water is all over the floor. I didn't know there was a little thing in there you had to knock out before you hooked it into the dishwasher. So I do now. That's right. But I also know something else. I call a plumber. I listen to my wife. See, just do it. If you have the ability to do it, just do it. If it's one of the nine, if it's one of those others that I read, just do it. And then, don't feel bad if you can't do it. Just be honest. See, the bottom line. See, I love those bottom lines, don't I? If we spent less time trying to identify our spiritual gifts and more time praying and doing what is right in front of us, we will walk fully into the giftings that God has given us. I believe that. I know the gifts that God has developed in me. A bunch of them I didn't pursue. I just started doing, I saw things around the church or people's places or whatever that I could help them do, and I just did it. If you're faithful in little, He's going to give you much to do. I believe that. And Sam Stone was picking up for what he said before. God will more likely meet us with His gifts in the midst of trying to help His children than He ever would while we're taking a spiritual gifts analysis test. I've taken them. I've taken 4 or 5. None of them help me. Just me, okay? The worship team wants to come back up. Find a need and meet it. Find a hurt and heal it. Find a lonely person and befriend them. Find someone who needs a ride and give it to them. Find someone who just needs to be edified or encouraged or built up or comforted, and then edify them. Build them up, encourage them, and comfort them. Help them to look forward, to dream bigger dreams. To not look at the situation you're in, but to look forward into the vastness of God. Be a mother. Be a father. Be a mentor, a discipler to those who God has put in your life. And by that I mean God has spoken to both people. And I believe that God will use you to release His energizing power through you into the lives of people that He brings to you, that you reach out to, that you just do it when you know you can. So church, let's just do it as we go forward in the days ahead, as we're going into the new normal, which I'm really excited about. God has really spoken to me about what's coming. And we're going to unpack a little bit of that next week, I think. I hope that was the Lord. But we just need to do it. Just be servants. Just help people. Not only in this house or in the house you belong to, the church, but out there in the community where God has placed us. Because we want to be a people. We want to be a church. And the people around us say, that's a significant place. They're a blessing to this community. Amen? Amen. Let's worship.